Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood. Hop a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. You can download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, who's brought to you by Golfdom. The four majors may be behind us, but there's a lot left in the golf season. Go to Golfdom.com. For all your summer golf needs, clubs, apparel, shoes, club repair, club fitting, and more, visit Golfdom and Tyson's or golfdomgolf.com. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Hello. We're doing okay.
Hello, John.
So you wrote about Juan Soto this week.
I did.
Yep. And
I thought it was appropriate.
To sum it up.
It was a small story, but yeah.
You believe you do not trade superstars at age 23.
That is exactly what I believe. And I said that to you guys a few weeks ago when this became a potential story. And I certainly haven't changed my position on that. And there are several issues involved here, as I wrote in the column. One is, what do the learners, who clearly the learners were behind this deal. You can't put this one on Rizzo. He doesn't make the deal unless the learners are either saying it's okay or we want you to do it. So it's on the learners, and they are lame duck owners. And what do they owe to the fans going out the door? The fans, this team, for all sorts of reasons, has gone from a value of $450 million when they bought it to over $2 billion as they are going to sell it. So they're going to walk away with a profit of $2 billion, roughly. Mm-hmm. They owe the fans something. And right now, they are putting a product on the field that stinks. They lost 97 games last year. By the way, I went and looked this up just out of curiosity. Do you know how far the Nationals were behind the Atlanta Braves on the day that they had their giant sell-off while the Braves were making trades that led to winning the World Series?
30 games?
Two games in the loss column.
Oh, you're talking about last year.
Oh, you're talking about last year.
Last year.
Oh,
no,
I'm
last
sorry.
Year. Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. So those two teams were
almost
in the same spot in the standings. The Braves went out, even though they knew they weren't going to have Ronald Acuna for the rest of the season, and made trades that led to winning the World Series. The Nationals made trades that led to losing 97 games. Now they have the worst record in baseball by a wide margin.
Yep.
And they traded, you know, Juan Soto was the only thing they promoted this season, going into the season, during the season. And one of the things that they sold to season ticket holders was Juan Soto. Well, now the season ticket holders only got Juan Soto for a little less than two-thirds of the season. So that's one issue. But the other issue on the field is people are saying, well, Boris was going to take him to free agency no matter what. That's possible. That's possible because Boris is Voldemort, as I wrote in the column. So I wouldn't doubt that. But on the other hand, out him. Go to him and say, what's the number, Scott? give us a number that you will sign for. And if he says, oh, there's no number, I'm taking him to free agency, then you out him as what he is and who he is. And maybe next year, that's when you trade him. You keep him around for the rest of this year at a relatively cheap price. And then maybe a year from now, if he has told you that you're not going to re-sign him, you trade him. Or let him go to free agency and be the highest bidder and keep him at home. I mean, again, who knows who the new owner is going to be, but the Lerners can certainly afford that kind of money if they choose to afford it. Mm-hmm. And everybody's saying now, oh, but they got all these great prospects back. Really, who knows?
That's true.
Who knows?
That is true.
And is there anybody in that package who we believe will be as good a player as Juan Soto? No.
Of course not. Of course not. No,
absolutely not. So, but, and, you know, my colleagues, Barry Sverluga and Tom Boswell, are, you know, singing this song of hope. And maybe by 2025, if everything works out, they'll be good again. I don't really look at it that way.
So who do you blame more, the Lerners or Boris?
Oh, that's a good question, Jason. I would put them in the same bag and throw them overboard. you know, Boris, we know, is a terrible, terrible person. I mean, there's not any doubt about that. Boris is out.
Person.
Yeah,
have you met him personally?
Yes, and I've dealt with him. In fact, okay. I mentioned this in the column. You might remember Mike Wise wrote a column, it's got to be, 9 years ago now, in which Boris was bragging about, you know, how he got Rizzo to shut Strasburg down in 2012. And he had a sentence in there where he said, when Rizzo and I were putting this team together, okay, so he said that. So I actually, I had the CBS radio show back then, and I got Boris to come on. And he came on, and I said, so you and Rizzo put the team together. Oh, I never said that. Mm. Well, Mike Wise has it on tape.
Oh, okay.
That you said that. And that's who Boris is. I mean, and then he went through the, you know, to, oh, I was taken out of context line. Oh, please.
You know what's great about
when somebody says they were taken out of context, that means I was lying, and I'm lying, and there's nothing else I can use as an excuse.
You know what's great about some of these prospects? They're represented by Boris.
Yes. And it's funny you say that, because one of the things I regretted not writing in the column, you know, you only have so much space, is, but I mean this, they should never, ever, ever sign another Boris player. I know that eliminates some very, very good players, because he seems to represent every star in the game. I don't know why, but he does. Not Aaron Judge, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I when I'm Rizzo and I'm, you know, making the trade and I got the Cardinals bidding and the Dodgers bidding and the Padres bidding, I'm going to say, I want your best non-Scott Boris players. Because Rizzo has been outmaneuvered by Boris consistently, you know, going back to the Strasburg thing and, you know, throughout. But just stay away from Scott Boris, for God's sake. He's a damn pox.
So they should not sign Juan Soto when he's a free agent.
Well, no, I'm talking going forward.
So
I mean, they got stuck. They got Strasburg. They got Harper. They got Soto. I think Rendon's a Boris guy too, isn't he?
He is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they had those guys. Okay. Well, at some point, don't you learn your lesson? That this guy is a terrible guy. And the notion, and Boz, among others, wrote this, that, you know, the reason you let him control Strasburg in 2012 was so that he would be good to you in the future, so you'd have a good relationship. There's no point in having a good relationship with Scott Boris.
I understand why you have the venom for Boris. I will say, and you said going forward, so I get that, but I will say,
yes,
they wouldn't have a World Series without Scott Boris players.
No, that's true. No, I don't disagree with that. And including, notably, Juan Soto.
Correct.
And Strasburg, who was great that year. That's an issue, but I wouldn't put it this way. If Juan Soto was available, you know, in a trade coming back this way, hypothetically, I would trade for Juan Soto. That's a headache you put up with, but prospects, guys who these guys pan out, and now you got Boris sitting on your doorstep saying, okay, I'm going to take him to free agency. I'm not going to negotiate with you. You want to go through that again? Really?
So John.
And one other local analogy to this, where would the Washington Capitals be if Ted Leonsis hadn't given Alex Ovechkin the contract he gave him when he was 23. That was considered an outrageously long and expensive contract.
Yep.
And Ovechkin's only going to turn out to be one of the greatest players in history, and they won a Stanley Cup.
That worked out.
So going back to Boris for a second, he's clearly, in your words, a terrible person. But he must be a great baseball agent. Otherwise, he wouldn't have the...
You know, some people can be very good. David Falk was great at what he does.
Right.
I wouldn't trust David Falk to tell me what time it is.
I like David Falk.
I'm sorry about that. But part of being a great, there are agents who I have dealt with through the years who I've had good relationships with. One of them was a guy named Tom Ross, who was a tennis agent. He represented Stefan Edberg and Michael Chang and people like that. And I'm going to block on the name. He was representing Leighton Hewitt, who won both Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. Mm. And there was some controversy, and I caught Ross in a dead lie, just a lie. And somebody who I'd known for years, and I said, you lied to me. And he said, sometimes that's part of the job. And you know what? If you're an agent, sometimes it is part of the job. And they sign up for it. And, you can't trust most agents. And so Boris is not unique in the sense that I wouldn't trust him, but he's uniquely successful. Let's put it that way. I mean, he's obviously very good at what he does. But also, reputation, guys want to sign him with Boris because they know Boris will get him every possible dollar.
Yeah. I don't know if I trust our agent. I'll be honest.
I just changed agents, so I'm not a good one to ask after 35 years.
Hey, John, I said this a couple times yesterday. I think there is a ton of pressure on A.J. Preller and the Padres because he clearly went all in, and he's not going to win the division. They're probably going to have to play the Braves in the first round of the wild card.
Yeah.
In all three games, best of three in Atlanta. And they've obviously added Soto, and they added a couple other pieces like Hader. I mean, he went all in, and he's probably not going to be able to re-sign Soto as a free agent. So this is a 2.5-year rental for Preller, and he said, "F it, I'm going to go all in, and I'm selling my entire farm system for him."
And obviously, he had the backing of ownership.
Yep.
Because you can't make moves like that without it. As I said, I don't put the trade of Soto on Rizzo; I put it on the Lerners. But 2 years in today, 2.5 years in today's environment isn't bad, especially at what is essentially a bargain basement price for what Soto's going to get paid eventually.
Are you rooting for the Padres secretly now because they made the deal?
That's a good question.
You want to see him do well. You want to see him do well, obviously.
Yeah, and I want to see Soto do well because that's the other thing. You traded a guy who was never anything but a class act. Who was good for the franchise on the field and off the field. Remember when Bruce Allen laughably said that the football team, was doing well off the field?
Sure.
Well, Soto did do well off the field.
Right.
For this team. And that's another reason it's a shame that he's gone. And 23. I mean, he could easily play 15 more years.
It's never happened before in the history of baseball where a 23-year-old was traded midseason when he was in the All-Star game.
I did not know that stat, but of course, everything is about a stat now.
Yeah. That's how historic the trade was.
That's a good one. That's better than the one I read in the paper yesterday where somebody said some team hadn't done something since 2019. And since there was no 2020, really, that meant they didn't do it in 2021. We see those stats all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, and again, I honestly believed, I really did, when it first came up that they, after he turned down the $440 million, that they were going to look to trade him. I honestly thought it was a bluff, that Rizzo was trying to bluff Boris, but, Rizzo can't bluff Boris. And I really didn't think they would in the end pull the trigger, but in the end they pulled the trigger, and I think it's a shame.
And how do you think what's the reaction going to be at Nats Park when he comes to town next weekend?
I think he'll get a standing ovation. I think he'll absolutely get a standing ovation. Remember, this isn't like Bryce, who left in free agency. He was traded. It's different when Max Scherzer got a standing ovation. He was traded. And Soto, tell me something negative about Juan Soto, for crying out
Some
loud.
Fans are upset he didn't accept the $440 million offer.
Yeah, I understand that. But that's on two things. One, that's on Boris. Because Boris is obviously sailing the ship. But beyond that, the $440 million is a little bit deceiving, because what did I read? It would have been like the 20th highest average salary per year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're Juan Soto. You should be higher than that, shouldn't you?
Yes.
You know, and this is what the learners do, by the way. They throw out these huge numbers, but then when you break the numbers down, there's deferred money. There's this. It's not as much as it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And again, it's silly for anybody to sit around. And say,
but there was no deferred money.
Isn't as much as it sounds like.
There was no deferred money in this deal.
I know that, but the average annual salary.
The average was low, but the 440 is the biggest ever. So you can look at it both ways.
So you can look at it both ways. And Boris looked at it and said, you know what? We can get more.
Yeah, and he will.
And again, go back to the fact, when he becomes a free agent, if he does, he's going to be 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look how much money Aaron Judge is going to get at the end of this season, and he's 30. So, I do I wish he had signed? Yeah, I do, because even though I'm a Mets fan, I kind of like to see the Nats do well. They're my hometown team. And I like Davey Martinez a lot. But I do understand the answer being no. And again, this is part of the propaganda that the Nats very successfully put out in this town. You know, well, it was the most money ever, blah blah blah, and he turned it down, so he's the bad guy, and that's why we had to trade him. And you know, and Barry's calling me, well, you know, terrible, terrible day, but now we have hope in Washington. Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
All right, John. Well, have a good week. We got to go, man. Have a good weekend, okay?
Same to you guys. Talk to you next week.
All right.
John Feinstein brought to you by Golfdom. Yes, the four majors are behind us, but there's a lot of golf left this season. Go to Golfdom for all your summer golf needs, clubs, apparel, shoes, club repair, club fitting, and more. Visit Golfdom in Tysons or golfdomgolf.com. Golfdom, live the game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Coming up in an hour, Chris Wright's going to join us. He used to play hoops at Georgetown. And now he's part of Dog Talk. They're like Georgetown players, alums, and they're going to be taking on the Maryland alums in the Alumni Basketball League.
It's the ABL.
So he will join us in studio.
Good dude.
You know how quick Chris Wright was in his heyday?
Oh, he was a baller.
Lightning quick, of course.
He was a baller. Good dude, too. We've had him on the show before.
Yep.
So Mike Garofalo was out at Commanders camp.
Shares the name of the guy we went to high school with.
Yes, he does.
I always think of that Mike Garofalo, Garofalo, however he pronounces it.
I do think he pronounces it differently than
he
that.
He used to drive an orange beater way back. Now, all of us drove beaters in high school. That's what you do when you're 16 or 17. If you're lucky enough to have a car, it's going to be a beater. It's just the way it is. Nobody's driving around in a fancy Corvette or a nice car. It's just the way it is.
Anyway, Mike Garofalo, or Mike Garofalo,
yes,
NFL Network, was at a Commanders camp, and he had a pick on who the Commanders' breakout player was going to be this year. Let's play the guessing game, Cakes, because I didn't hear this. I just went to his Twitter to try and see if I could find it. Didn't find it. I already heard Jason's pick, and it makes some sense.
I like going in blind here. I have not seen or heard this clip either. Who's his breakout? I'm just going to go with guy I'm hearing a ton of buzz on that I think is going to have a big role. I think it's going to be Jahan Dotson. I think he's going to step right in and catch a bunch of balls with Carson Wentz under center. Jahan Dotson is my guess.
Jason, who did you say?
I said Brian Robinson,
who's the running back from Alabama.
Correct.
All right, now I will say I'm going to go with this guy, although we are hearing different reports. And I will say that when I went to the Twitter, I didn't hear him say this is my breakout player, but I heard him mention the name. So it's possible, as I was just going through it real quickly. I think he's going to go with the second-year first-round pick, Jamin Davis.
Oh, please be an offensive player. I almost refuse to participate if this is a defensive player that Mike Garofalo is.
Well, you already participated.
Well, of course I'm going to pick an offensive player. Like, you should always pick an offensive player because offense is more important and more fun to watch than defense.
But it would be a breakout because last year, almost nothing from Jamin Davis. He was their first-round pick.
Right.
So without knowing much, it would make sense that that's the type of guy who's a breakout player.
I might throw up in my mouth a little bit if it's Jamin Davis.
Defense goes. I talked about this earlier this week on the show. I said my breakout player in his second year, Jamin Davis. I'm looking forward to
I'm not going
to
take credit because I heard the back end of it.
Oh, you heard it.
I said I heard the back end of it.
Year. Okay. You know, was thinking over.
Can we hear the audio, please?
God. Play it again. Just zip it.
As far as the defense goes, I talked about this earlier this week on the show. I said my breakout player in his second year, Jamin Davis. I'm looking forward to seeing what he's doing because everything I'm hearing is that he's moving much faster than the former first-round pick in his first year. You know, was thinking, overthinking a little bit too much in the field. Didn't play as fast as he's capable of playing. Ron Rivera talking about him yesterday to the media, gushing about him and how he's more comfortable seeing all the run fits. And being more comfortable up here allows you to play much faster with your feet down there. So he's what I'll be watching on the defensive side of the ball today.
I'm disappointed, personally, that it's a defensive player. But look, if you're a Commanders fan, you want Jamin Davis to break out. You want his prediction to be correct that he's much more evolved. He's more instinctive. He's playing faster. He's not trying to fit into a spot where he's not really comfortable. Like, Ron and Jack Del Rio, like, access his strengths. Go after what he's good at. Don't try to make him do something that he wasn't good at doing at college. Please accentuate his strengths instead of trying to force feed him into something that he's not good at doing.
Yeah, you both had rookies as breakout players. Can they really be breakout players?
Sure.
Straight from college?
Of course they can.
Happens all the time. Was Jamar Chase a breakout player?
Like, if you're not expecting a guy to, yeah. Jamar Chase is a perfect example. Now, he's picked fifth overall.
I mean, I think you expect things from those guys.
I think first round picks exceeded expectations.
First round picks can be breakout players.
No, what do you expect from Robinson this year? You know,
I don't know. I think
the Washington Post just had an article about Antonio Gibson.
Yeah.
And how he's leaner and he's coming off 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. He seems to feel that he's going to have a similar year. You seem to believe that Robinson's going to dig into his carries.
I think he will dig a little bit. Right. I think he could be a touchdown vulture.
He's going to be because he's more of a
power back than Gibson would ever be.
Sounds like they want him to be like goal line hammer type, short yardage guy.
So I
like,
could see Robinson like a, have, I don't know how many yards he would have, but I could see him having 6-7 touchdowns.
I think what they see in Robinson is it's a more talented Peyton Barber type of guy.
Right.
Like a Peyton Barber role, but he can do a little bit more. Like, he can actually catch balls out of the backfield and he can pick up the really tough yardage when they need it. And maybe they want to keep Gibson a little fresher, healthier, by not exposing him to all that wear and tear.
Because Mike said in the clip, he said, from what I'm hearing, Jamin Davis is playing faster. He's starting to get it. The game's kind of slowing down for him a little bit because, you know, there was a lot of question marks with him last year because of all of those factors.
Right.
And he goes, from what I'm hearing, now he might be hearing that from coaches. And I don't think the coaches are going to talk badly to Mike about Jamin Davis. Could be wrong on that because from the people I talk to that are at camp every day, they were down on Jamin Davis.
Yeah, this is a national guy who's coming in for one day.
He comes in for one day. He talks to some coaches, and they go, yeah, he's been awesome. Well, of course they're going to tell him
that. They fill his head with stuff that might not actually be true.
Yeah. But the people that I've talked to that have been at camp at every day, every single day, said Jamin Davis still looks out of place.
And it makes sense that you go for a guy who was a first-round pick.
Maybe they're wrong.
He didn't produce anything in year one, so you're hoping for that breakout.
Mm-hmm.
They need that. Look. We said all offseason, linebackers was in position of need. They didn't really do anything.
They don't have great depth there.
So they need him to step up.
Did they address it at all? Did they even add any free agents? I don't think they did. Because right now on the depth chart, you've got Jamin, you've got Holcomb, you've got Kalike Hudson, you've got Mayo.
Well, the kid who blew his knee out, the free agent, was a linebacker. His name is escaping. White,
right. That's right.
So he was a guy who was buying for a spot. But yeah, they didn't really expend any draft capital to bring in a guy to upgrade that spot.
Mm-hmm. Look, Rivera and Del Rio, they've decided that they're primarily going to go with this Buffalo nickel concept with only two linebackers.
Yeah.
So they're not playing a 4-3, they're playing a 4-2.
It just seems like they're super paper thin at that spot. Like if somebody underperforms or Cole Holcomb gets banged up or just doesn't seem like there's a lot there.
Well, that means the defensive line better play pretty damn well.
Right.
Especially against the run. Because a lot of those guys, they just kind of take up blockers and then the linebackers fill in, make those tackles. That defensive line better play really well.
I think Fedarian Mathis, the second rounder out of Alabama also, I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities as a rookie.
Yeah,
he's going to get a lot of playing time.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
I mean, he's not going to start, but he's going to go in and spell Allen and Payne.
Of course.
Especially with the departures of Settle and Ioannidis during the offseason. He's going to have a pretty big role.
Mike did not predict that De'Ami Brown would have a breakout season. So I'm kind of interested in that. De'Ami Brown wasn't a high draft pick. He was a third rounder. All right.
Third rounders,
you kind of expect something from them.
Terry McLaurin was a third rounder, too.
Right. Certainly in year two, you got to see something.
Right.
Do you expect anything from De'Ami this year?
See, I feel like you're setting me up for a trap here. I feel like you're setting me up to overestimate how many catches De'Ami Brown is going to have. Now, he had a very underwhelming rookie campaign.
Correct.
So I think if he gets anything over, I don't know, 30 to 35, I think is a reasonable range to expect. And if he gives you anything over that, if he tickles the 40s or anything into that range, you have to be pleasantly surprised.
I don't think you can expect that much. He's the number four receiver. Maybe number five.
Well, I would be disappointed if he was the number five receiver when he was drafted in the third round.
That is a disappointment. You expect a guy drafted in the top four rounds to be a contributor and to be more than just a fifth or sixth wideout.
Assuming Curtis Samuel healthy.
Well, I can never assume that.
McLaurin, Samuel, Dotson. So at best, he's the number four receiver.
Or it could be.
He's not going to be on the field that
much. Personally think it's going to be McLaurin, Dotson, Samuel is your pecking order. I think Dotson could be that impactful as a rookie.
Yeah, and if there's any issues with Samuel,
especially,
and there might be, then obviously De'Ami's got to step up. He's got to be that third guy. Unless they're just going to throw it to McKissick and Gibby and all those guys, and they're not even going to worry about the third receiver.
How's the Samuel tracker doing? Still on one? Because yesterday was kind of a maintenance day.
Right.
I believe so. Yeah, like if he makes the next practice, that's two in a row. That's progress, I guess. And or part of the plan that Ron loves to hype up. About the ramping him up, then giving him rest. Just be ready for the opener against Jacksonville. Don't really care whether he plays in the preseason. Give him a smattering of plays. Keep him healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's part of the plan.
If Jamin Davis ultimately doesn't work out, you're going to look at the Ron Rivera era of drafting guys as an even bigger bust than it's been. Because you already had one guy retire. Now he was a fourth round pick in Antonio Gandy-Golden. But that's a complete whiff.
Now, to be fair to Ron and the staff, I looked at some of the other players that were selected around Gandy Golden in that range, in that draft, in the 2020 draft. And none of the names are jumping out at me as guys who, you know, are regular contributors or starters. A few might be, but for the most part, those are depth guys. Those are special teams guys. And maybe if you're lucky, they'll develop into something better and bigger.
Hmm.
Wasn't the case with Gandy Golden.
No.
Plus part of this, I don't know this for a fact, but the fact that he was so like seemingly eccentric, he had a lot of other outside interests. Like, couldn't he like ride a unicycle? He was into Rubik's cubes. Like football coaches don't want you to be into 100 different things. They don't.
Well, I'm sure they knew about that when they drafted him.
They may have been, but football coaches don't want you to be that well-rounded. They want you to be film nerds. They want you to love football. They want you to live and breathe football. They're not really that much into your outside interests.
Now, 2020,
well, small sample size, but the best draft, it's only been 3 years, and obviously this year we haven't seen anybody play, but the best player in the first two drafts for Ron has been Gibby.
Yes. He was a third-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even close.
2020, look, they also hit on Cameron Curl.
Yeah. That was a good one. Good value in the seventh round.
Seventh round pick. James Smith Williams on the team. Seventh round pick. Kalicki Hudson, who you mentioned, on the team.
Well, the one they obviously really need to hit is Chase Young when you pick at number two.
That is true.
That one had better be a hit, and it better be a guy who, once he's healthy and once he's past the ACL recovery, that you can see racking up 13 to 15 sacks and being a terror on defense.
Cosme's going to be a starter.
Cosme's a second rounder, yep.
St. Juste. So maybe he's done better than I thought. And just maybe taking an unnecessary shot at Jamie Davis.
I just think first, second, and third round, certainly first rounders, but second and third rounders have to have an impact in the first couple of years. And Cosme's been in and out, but he's going to be a starter. St. Juste, okay. But he's not a starting corner. Maybe a nickel corner. And then De'Ami Brown, obviously not a starting receiver. So, yeah, I'll give it a C. But Chase Young's the big one. If Chase Young is not going to be productive, that's going to be an F for that draft.
And Jamin Davis is a pretty big one, too, first round.
And Jamin, first rounder. First rounders have to be starters.
They do need them to be a breakout.
And they've got to be good starters.
If you want to chime in, you can always call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. You can text a fan on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine, 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. You can always tweet us at Junks Radio. Coming up next, QB quarter of on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Going to put up the Junkies poll of the day momentarily based on our discussion before. Who is your breakout player for the Commanders this year? I said Jamin Davis. That was just my guess of what Garofalo was going to say.
Right.
You're all about Jahan Dotson. He's Brian Robinson. So we'll put that up. That's brought to you by Van Meter Homes.
The only way Jamin Davis will excite me in year two is if he has 7 or 8 sacks. And makes a lot of disruptive plays. And he was supposed to be the line on him coming out of college was
athletic freak.
He could cover Kyle Pitts. Right. He was the Kyle Pitts killer. Well, I need to see some of that, especially against NFC East opponents. Like, if he's on the field and they're playing the Giants and Saquon Barkley goes out in the flat to catch a pass, I better see Jamin Davis heat seeking him in the flat and making plays. Like, that's why he was drafted. That's why he caught your eye. He's a freak athlete that can make freakish plays. Please employ him like that. And he better be covering tight ends too, because that was the book on him coming out of Kentucky. I want to see some of that.
That's why you
picked him in the first round.
I'm totally with you, and I can see the frustration in Manders fans. I just I'm not going to give up on a guy after 1 year.
I'm not either.
I'm just telling you what I heard from some of the guys covering the team on a daily basis. They just weren't that impressed. Now, maybe they haven't watched him enough.
Right.
Maybe he's going to show you some signs in these games. But it's a little easier to cover guys in college than it is in the NFL.
Okay. But Kyle Pitts was number four pick.
Stud.
So he's a freak.
Stud.
Yeah.
But who was his quarterback then trying to throw to him? Was it like
Kyle Trask or my
Emory Jones?
Somebody different. Yeah. Okay.
But that's my point. It's another level.
That is true. All right, let's get into QB quarter of. Give you the latest quarterback news. There's a lot of Aaron Rodgers on this QB quarter of. This first story, it might dominate the entire segment. So if it does, I apologize. But I find it entertaining. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers revealed on the, and this proves that everybody has a podcast, on the Aubrey Marcus podcast. Drab, is this podcast wildly popular and I'm just, again, out of touch with everybody?
Not as popular as Bit Season.
Not as popular as Bit Season. So maybe you guys will eventually book Aaron Rodgers.
If we want him.
Apparently, he claimed on this podcast that he consumed ayahuasca prior to his back-to-back MVP seasons, crediting the plant-based psychedelic for helping produce two of the best seasons of his career, thanks to a change in mindset and improvement of his mental health. His quotes are, I don't think it's a coincidence, of his ayahuasca experience in South America. I really don't. I don't really believe in coincidences at this point. It's the universe bringing things to happen when they're supposed to happen.
He's a weirdo.
He is clearly a weirdo. Now, Roger said his decision to try ayahuasca was prompted by a prior experience that he had with psychedelics. Marcus said Rodgers once told him that, quote, one of the best days of my life involved taking mushrooms on a beach where he subsequently, quote, felt myself merge with the ocean.
Okay. Have you ever taken any sort of psychedelic drug? Mushrooms? Is absinthe? Is that one? Like people that drink absinthe?
Absinthe is like,
I don't really know much about it.
Look, absinthe, from what I know, is like a super powerful alcohol.
Okay.
That's what I know about abs. I have never taken a hallucinogenic, psychoactive, mind-altering drug. I've never done LSD. I've never done shrooms. What else is there? I've obviously never traveled to South America to have an ayahuasca experience.
Is this clearly not on the banned substance list by the NFL?
ayahuasca does contain an ingredient called DMT, which is dimethyltryptamine, which is a Schedule I drug in the United States. So I guess to experience it, you hop on a plane and you fly to like Lima, Peru or wherever, and you go in like a tent with a shaman.
Yes.
And you do like this, you consume the ayahuasca.
Under the supervision of a shaman.
And apparently this is where Valdez is going to shine. It makes you vomit. It can produce diarrhea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a real like full-on effect on
your body.
And
he believes this helped him more than, you know, throwing the ball to Davante Adams.
Hmm. Look, here are more of his quotes. He said, "It gave me a deep and meaningful appreciation for life. My intention the first night going in was, I want to feel what pure love feels like. That was my intention. And I did. I had a magical experience with the sensation of feeling 100 different hands in my body imparting a blessing of love and forgiveness for myself and gratitude for this life from what seemed to be my ancestors."
He's just a weird human being.
Meanwhile, he doesn't talk to his brother.
That is correct. He's estranged from his family. Strangely enough, JP, that's the next story. It's like you knew what was happening here.
I mean, I did send them last night.
Aaron Rodgers might be ready to reconcile with his estranged family. He's reportedly had a falling out with his family in 2014. We all know that that was publicly discussed when his brother Jordan Rodgers appeared on The Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. But neither side has ever revealed the full cause of the rift. Now, Rodgers has opened up about the, quote, possibility of reconciliation in a recent interview. "I do believe in healing, and I believe in the possibility of reconciliation at some point." Also, on the Aubrey Marcus podcast.
You know, we, and I think deservedly so, we call him a weirdo, and we seem to put the family estrangement on him. We don't know. It could be on the other side, too. Like, maybe just giving him a slight benefit of the doubt. Maybe Aaron has tried to reach out, and the parents and
Jordan
are the ones who are causing the problems.
Could be.
You never know.
Could be.
Two sides of the story, right?
Jordan and JoJo.
I have no idea.
I think they're married. They're either married or still together.
I think Jordan Rodgers married his bachelor.
And you know what?
Or bachelorette contestant, whichever one it was.
I will give them credit, because usually the bachelor and bachelorette hookups are, "Oh, we're going to get married." It all 90% of the time it fizzles.
Of course it fizzles.
It either never gets to a wedding, or it's just the engagement is broken
off.
It's
a fake life, Cakes. You can never live up to the dates from The Bachelor.
Of course you can.
Then you're just hanging out at your house?
Right. Oh, wait a second. You mean we're not flying to Paris to have dinner? And then as soon as dinner is over, there's going to be some guy strumming an acoustic guitar, and we're just going to dance the night away underneath the stars? I mean, that's what happens all the time on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Or they go to like a lake, and all of a sudden there's a private fireworks display for the couple. Just for them. That never happens.
You've never had that happen in Kiowa? Private fireworks? You and Amy?
No, it's never happened.
I'm surprised by that.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers might be getting back together with his family. So we'll have to see
how that goes. By the way, Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend's name like Blue or something like that. He's got like a new girlfriend.
I think her name's like Blue of Earth.
Right.
And she was at first she was billed to be like a witch of some sort or like into the occult. And I think she's walked some of that back, saying that it's not true, but she's weird. And she's a full-on hippie just like him.
Yeah.
Like right now you can't date Aaron Rodgers and be a normal person. Like, he's a weirdo. He's going to date another weird person.
He is, but you'd like him throwing touchdowns for your team.
I'd like to have him and Alan Lazard on my fantasy team, sure, if you're asking me that.
Or Christian Watson, who he's talking highly of.
Yeah, but he's a rookie.
He's a rookie. I get it.
He's already had a knee injury. I'm a little bit concerned there.
I know.
I like to go with the proven, the known, rather than the unknown. Kind of like this call from Dennis in Glen Burnie.
Dennis.
Oh, he grew up in the 60s, wants to talk 60s in the era of free love and
psychedelic drugs.
And drugs. So it's all, yo.
Dennis,
you're all the junks.
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Thank you all. I just want to say you guys had a great show.
Thank you.
Listen, the Aaron Rodgers, the thing that people don't get is in mushrooms, it's a little bit of hallucinations in the front. But most of it is the speed and the euphoric the feeling you get in the background. I grew up in the 60s where there was a lot of different people doing drugs. But I myself have figured out, but I'm surprised the NFL doesn't get him because there's an amphetamine effect in the end. And I'm surprised that hadn't got to him.
I don't know this, but I'm guessing the fact that he experienced it out of the country might exempt him from any sort of prosecution or punishment. That's just my guess.
Dennis, do you think we would be better radio broadcasters if we did shrooms in our off season
or during the show? Like, right. You want the effect while we're on the air, like during the off season.
What is the name of whatever he took? Should I do that?
Ayahuasca.
Now we would have to fly to like Ecuador to do it
during a week off. Should I take that and I'll come back stronger?
I'd probably not.
I would enjoy watching that show.
Oh, you know what? We'll do an ayahuasca Christmas experience at some point.
There'll be a lot of laughing.
I mean, that sounds like a ratings bonanza.
I bet so there would be.
Isn't it a weird thing for him to admit? Like, what?
It's kind of weird.
I would think so.
I think he enjoys being different.
Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah, he just doesn't care. He kind of likes the attention.
It's kind of an AD's bit. He's doing obscure podcasts.
He's embraced the different bit.
Yeah.
Like his wacky tattoo that he has on his forearm. It's just weird.
He showed up to camp like Nicolas Cage and Con Air.
That did kind of make... I did laugh at that.
I thought he was going to cut his hair. Remember he was doing a whole growing his hair out bit for Halloween?
Right.
I can't even remember what he ended up being for Halloween.
Oh, what did he dress up? He dressed up as something.
John Wick, wasn't it?
Oh, he was John. Yeah. He was John Wick. Yes, I believe he was. I think that's correct.
He looked just like him.
He did look just like him. He looked a lot like Nicolas Cage too.
Mm-hmm.
He looked almost exactly.
This guy loves Halloween.
You know what? I don't like admitting this. I kind of like Con Air. I know it's cheesy. I know it's not great. I will watch it when it comes on. I don't like to admit that, but I admitted it.
Yeah, you did.
I kind of like it.
I enjoyed it.
Kind of like,
haven't seen it in forever.
Kind of like Con Air. Lots of stars in Con Air.
Oh, tons of stars.
John Malkovich, Ving Rhames, John Cusack, Nicolas Cage.
Big ones.
Dave Chappelle.
Steve Buscemi.
I don't even remember.
Steve Buscemi.
I don't remember Chappelle. He was in that?
Dave Chappelle.
Yes, he was.
Yep.
He got sucked up
into the engine.
By the wheel.
That is correct. And then his body plummeted to earth and landed on somebody's car at an intersection. I've seen the movie too many times. I'm talking too much. I need to stop.
Speaking of movies, coming up next, we'll open up the entertainment page here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.